In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Today, beloved, in the Gospel, we get the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And this Gospel comes to us every year a couple of Sundays before we start the Lenten Triodion. There's a little variation in the liturgical practice. Sometimes it's 1 week before the Triodion starts. This year it's 2 weeks before. But it's a very memorable Gospel. It's a colorful story. And in it, we hear about a man who seems the least likely person to be saved. And that's the whole point of this Gospel. This Gospel shows us, if nothing else, how much God loves us and to what depths He will go to raise us up from sin and death. In this story, we hear that Zacchaeus is a tax collector, and in biblical speak, if you will, that means a sinner. You know, a classic example. Remember last Sunday we said that we said that the lepers were the outcasts par excellence in the Bible, right? The perfect example, extreme example. Well, here in this Gospel we have the tax collector, which we might call a sinner par excellence, the person most in need of repentance, someone who needs to turn to God and to be saved. Jesus even equates them with the harlots, the tax collectors and the harlots. He lumps them together in the New Testament, talking to the Pharisees about their hypocrisy. So we have Zacchaeus, who's not in a very good position to be saved, and he's short of stature, we hear. Guys, you guys need to sit down, okay? Let's find a seat. Zacchaeus is short of stature, which makes it even more difficult for him. He's got a challenge ahead of him. But what he does is he climbs up the tree, and the Lord sees him and invites him down and says, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house today." Now, as Orthodox, we often see things in terms of the church and the sacraments. Do you ever see that icon of the hospitality of Abraham with the three angels? You know, there's a few of them around in the church and in the Sunday school area. It's a picture of a story from the Old Testament with three visit Abraham. Well, in the church, we call that icon the Holy Trinity because we see seated around a table. One of them is lifting his hand in a benediction over the gifts and blessing them. You know, we see an image of God in three persons there. And more than that, the shape of their figures comes down and looks like a chalice. It looks like a cup. So we see a Eucharistic image in that story and in that icon. So we see more than just sitting down to eat a meal. And the reason I mention that is because in the Gospel today, we don't necessarily know what happened at Zacchaeus' house. But we know that the Lord was coming over to pay him a visit. And when Jesus comes and demands fellowship, requests fellowship, asks to be with you, to eat a meal with you, to come over your house, there's a lot going on there, beloved. We see in it Eucharistic, a call to the Eucharist, a call to be saved through the life-giving sacraments of the church. Today is no different in the Gospel. Now, we see other examples of this. If you were at Matins this morning, at the end of John's Gospel, after Jesus is risen from the dead, he goes and he finds the disciples and they're fishing, and he tells them, "Bring in the fish," and then they cook it up, and then he says, "Come," and he prepares breakfast for them. Come and dine. That's not just an invitation to eat. That's a call to salvation through the Eucharist. And in the Revelation, in the third chapter of Revelation, when Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. He who hears and answers, I will come in and I will be with him and I will eat with him." Also, a call to salvation through the Eucharist. So that's what we see in the Gospel today, beloved. We see Zacchaeus being saved and coming to God, being called a son of Abraham, Salvation has come to his house in the least likely circumstances, and it's done through the sacraments of the church. What we do know happened is he confessed his sins to Jesus, right? He said, "Lord, if I've wronged anybody, I restore it, and I even make up for it. I restore it fourfold or tenfold," whatever it says. He is confessing his sins, another sacrament of the church. So if last week in the gospel we saw the sacrament of baptism and Eucharist, in this gospel we see confession and Eucharist. And it's given to us, beloved, at this strategic time of the year. It's 2 weeks before we start the Lenten Triodion. Now the church in her wisdom knows that people are hard to change. It's hard for us to break our habits. It wants us to engage in a fast and in a more prayerful attitude and a kindness toward poor people during Great Lent. So it doesn't just start out Great Lent, it leads us up to it with several Sundays that prepare us. These Sundays of preparation are called the Triodion. We start with the publican and the tax collector in 2 weeks, right? So at this time, we're already thinking about the importance of repentance and Eucharist in the life of the church. Just as the church prepares us, doesn't drop us into Lent cold, it gives us some time to think about it, some time to prepare. We want to think about our own salvation and our own stand with things. There's a problem in our churches that people come to church and they don't receive Holy Communion. And I mentioned that last Sunday too. Or they never take confession. And maybe the reason they don't take Holy Communion is because they don't take confession. So we have to look at that. Do we somehow think that our sins are too great, that Jesus can't save us or won't save us or is not interested in us for something we've done? If we have that attitude, we really rob the power of the cross of its effect. And the gospel today shows us that if nothing, even the least likely person is called to salvation. So God calls us all. He comes to seek and to save, as it says, the ones who are lost. And we teach that we do that through a life in the church. And that means the sacraments of the church, beloved. Can't underestimate, can't understate the importance of Eucharist in the church, of Holy Communion, if we are Christians. We can't say too little about that, beloved, because it's our very life. It's what unites us as a church. It's what makes us the body of Christ. It's what makes us the people of God. You know, in the early church, they recognized two sacraments, your baptism, which was your initiation, and the Eucharist, participating in the life-giving body and blood. That was the thing that sustained you after baptism. That was the thing that kept you on the road, that nourished you and allowed you to continue on that road, even when you fall off. And we do fall off, so the church gives us reconciliation. And we have that in the sacrament of confession. So we have to ask that question of ourselves, no matter who we are, you know, do we really want this invitation? That's one thing we can say about Zacchaeus. We know from the story that he sought to see who Jesus was, right? He heard something, he saw something, there was some commotion, and he went and he sought it out. He didn't say, "Oh, I can't see anything," or "I'm too short," or I can't get a ticket," or whatever the excuses. He got up on the tree and he made himself visible to the Lord. So he had the want, he had the desire. All of our actions in life start with a desire for something. So, beloved, as we prepare for Great Lent, we have to ask ourselves, what do we desire? I'll tell you what God desires. He desires you. And he desires more than just your physical presence. He desires more than a body in a pew. He wants you sitting at his table. He wants you dining with him. He wants you having fellowship with the resurrected Lord Jesus in heaven. And that heaven, we believe, starts right here in the worship of the church, in the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. So take that to heart. Don't ignore or refuse the invitation. Don't neglect the opportunity to live in heaven now in a foretaste with the life-giving body and blood of the Eucharist. Jesus is coming to save the lost and to find them and to bring them to the Father. We are all, beloved, among those in need of salvation. Number one here. So let's hear the call. Let's respond to it. Let us embrace the Lord with love. And as we prepare for Great Lent, let our prayer and our fasting and our acts of kindness and charity come to fruition in a sacramental life in the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.